The Trees of the Lord, Elms Haven Sanitarium, California, June 28, 1902. Dear Brethren Kilgore and Jacobs, the Lord has been giving me light in regard to many things. He has shown me that our sanitarium should be erected on as high an elevation as is necessary to secure the best results, and that they are to be surrounded by extensive tracts of land beautified by flowers and ornamental trees. In a certain place, preparations were being made to clear the land for the erection of a sanitarium. Light was given that there is health in the fragrance of the pine, the cedar, and the fir. And there are several other kinds of trees that have medicinal properties that are health-promoting. Let not such trees be ruthlessly cut down. Better change the side of the building than cut down those evergreen trees. There are lessons for us in these trees. God's word declares, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." David says, "I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." The Christian is likened to the cedar of Lebanon. I have read that this tree does more than send down a few short roots into the yielding loam. It sends strong roots deep down into the earth and strikes down further and still further in search of a still stronger hold. And in the fierce blast of the tempest, it stands firm, held by its network of cables beneath. So the Christian strikes deep root into Christ. He has faith in his Redeemer. He knows in whom he believes. He is fully persuaded that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. The goodly sound of the gospel is received without conflicting doubts. The roots of faith strike deep down. Genuine Christians, like the cedar of Lebanon, do not grow in the soft surface soil, but are rooted in God, riveted in the clefts of the mountain rocks. Study these lessons from the trees. I could dwell long on this subject, but I must not just now. I ask you not to cut away your pine trees. They will be a blessing to many. Let them live. I want to say to you, my brethren, that you have my prayers and my sympathy in your work. Remember that you are trees in the garden of the Lord and that the divine protection is round about you. The more visible the line of demarcation between the flowers of God and the briar and the thorn of Satan's planting, the more the Lord is glorified. Our sanitarium should be surrounded with choice flowers that by their growth and beauty they may reveal advantages of culture. They teach us that it is our privilege to improve. God desires us to bring fragrance into our life work. We are to be the plants of the Lord, serving Him in whatever way He wills. Let us do all in our power to beautify our characters. The Lord has entrusted His garden to skilled tenders whose work it is to care for His beautiful plants. Tender care must be given to the delicate plants. The useless offshoots must be taken away. The bruised parts must be carefully bound up, so those who are weak in the faith must have fostering care. We are to bind to our strong purposes the weaklings in the Lord's garden, giving them support. From the endless variety of plants and flowers, we may learn an important lesson. All blossoms are not the same in form or color. Some possess healing virtues. Some are always fragrant. There are professing Christians who think it their duty to make every other Christian like themselves. This is man's plan, not the plan of God. In the church of God, there is room for characters as varied as are the flowers in the garden. In his spiritual garden, there are many varieties of flowers. Brother Kilgore, when you have difficulty in locating new buildings and planning for their erection, pray and believe that the Lord will impress your mind and the minds of your brethren as to just where the building should be. The Lord will certainly bring harmony among you if you ask Him with full purpose of heart. Counsel together. This is necessary in an enterprise such as the one in which you are engaged. Attention to the Word of God will lead us to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then we shall respect all His commandments. Do that which presents itself in its time, demanding the first attention. Do not pass by the first duty to do the second. One duty accomplished prepares a way for the Lord's blessing, and the second duty is more easy if the first has been faithfully performed. The burden is off the soul. The heart is filled with peace and gladness of Christ. In your letter to W.C. White, you speak of selling some of the land you have recently purchased. Do not part with a foot of it. Be of good courage in the Lord. Signed, Ellen G. White.